In the Spirit of Medicine, the essays of family practice doctor and Mille Lacs Band member, Dr. Arnie Vainio.
Difficult times. Uncertain times. How many times have we heard that in the past few months? The COVID-19 pandemic came to us in March, and social distancing has caused millions to lose their jobs, and countless businesses won't make it. Hospitals in some part of the country are overwhelmed. In other parts, surgical floors are empty, and people are afraid to come into the emergency room. Clinics have changed the way they see patients, and much of medicine is changing to virtual visits by computer and phone. Some of those changes will likely be permanent. There are stories upon stories of people dying in the hospital without family members allowed to be there because of the pandemic. Healthcare workers are in harm's way, and they worry about bringing the virus home to their loved ones. Elders are isolated and lonely and afraid. We weren't ready for this as a nation, and that lack of preparation cost lives. Wearing masks and social distancing have become a flashpoint and have become a way to further divide us. Essential workers have been required to work, and many of those jobs are low-paying. Minorities and those living in poverty have been hit especially hard. COVID-19 has spread like wildfire through the Navajo Nation, and resources are spread thin. In the middle of all that uncertainty and fear arose a recurrent nightmare. A police officer in Minneapolis knelt on the neck of a black man, and three other officers were complicit in his death. Life left George Floyd on a live video seen around the world. He cried for his dead mother, and she couldn't save him. Protests followed, and neighborhoods burned. My son was close to that burning and took turns with his neighbors watching their building through the long and dangerous nights. I wonder about rites of passage, and I wonder when I became a man and left boyhood behind. Defending and protecting your neighbors is certainly one of those passages. I was 10 years old when Martin Luther King Jr. was shot on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel. I remember seeing those images in the stack of black and white Life magazines in my Finnish grandmother's house. I remember seeing photos of fire hoses and police dogs being turned on black people who dared to take a stand. I remember the photos of a little black girl walking between U.S. Marshals on her way to school. I remember wondering how she got herself into that situation. It took me a long time to realize she didn't do anything. That situation was waiting for her for hundreds of years. I remember staying with my Ojibwe grandparents in Minneapolis when I was young. My grandmother read True Detective magazines and kept the doors locked and the shades pulled down. She was suspicious of anyone different than her. She locked the car doors when my grandfather drove through the black part of Minneapolis. She would keep them locked until we got back to their rundown apartment with a rundown apartment surrounding it. I remember the broken tiles and cockroaches scurrying under the bathtub when I pulled the chain for the single light bulb hanging in the bathroom. Fast forward 52 years. Death was waiting for George Floyd, and it had also waited for hundreds of years. Death has always been patient. For some, it comes after a long and full life with boats and vacations and mortgages and big weddings and handshakes and Christmas cards from bankers. It comes with friendly nods and gentle warnings for driving a few miles above the speed limit. For others, it comes randomly with agony and pain and humiliation for a $20 mistake. 8 minutes and 46 seconds is enough time to realize you're dying. It's an eternity, and it's no time at all. My wife sought out her family on her father's side after our son was born almost 22 years ago. We went to Florida, and we found them in some of the poorest parts of Tampa. We had never been immersed in black culture like that, and we were welcomed with open arms and love that grows deeper each time we see them. This is an entire community held together by faith and devotion and spiritual strength. They believe. We met Clarence on one of those trips. He was maybe 50 and missing most of his teeth. His only possession was a rickety old bicycle he rode everywhere. He loved knowing a doctor's family, and he was always proud when we wanted to visit him. On one of our trips, we found out he had died from complications of poverty. He was too young, and his death left an empty place in us. I still miss hearing him laugh. George Floyd's death leaves an empty place in us. We need deep changes as a society, and we need to live by the principles that are in us when we're born. Within all of us is the knowledge of the difference between right and wrong. The more you treat all other people fairly, the stronger that part of your spirit becomes. Our grandfather teachings are humility, truth, honesty, respect, wisdom, and courage, and love. Zagi Idowin is the Ojibwe word for love. Joannim is unconditional, compassionate love, and I learned its meaning in the poorest parts of Tampa. Martin Luther King Jr. lived by these principles, and maybe used different words. We need to see the best in each other. We're better than this. We have to be. 400 years of oppression is too long. I stand with my relatives in the Black community everywhere, and I feel their pain. Black lives matter. Say it out loud. Black lives matter.
Dr. Arnie Vineo's essays on life, work, medicine, and spirit are published at Indians.com. And you can find the transcript of this story and more on our website at KUMD.org. In the Spirit of Medicine is produced by Dr. Arnie Vineo and Lisa Johnson, with music by Keith Sekola, and funded in part by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.